Repeated and intense mouth-to-mouth from Arjun and Karina aren't enough to resuscitate Arbalki's Kiyanka, whose intriguing premise and couple of moments of brilliance are drowned out by a dull storyline, confusing editing, and overall poor execution. As a mindless comedy, it might be worth watching, but as a film with a social message, it completely misses the point. We discuss that and lots more on this episode of Bollywood Weekly.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bollywood Weekly. This is your host Aditya and I'm joined with Akash and Sinha. Thanks guys for returning to the show. Okay, so the focus of today's episode is Ki and Ka. What did you guys think?
I thought it was okay. From the trailers I felt like it was trying to be something. But I thought it was okay. It's not a movie with a very tight message, but it's reasonably entertaining. There were some really funny parts in the middle, but it was average for me.
Yeah, I agree with Sinha because I had heard a lot of reviews about how this movie is a bit of a flop in terms of execution, even though the concept is really good. So I went in with really low expectations, but I actually thought it was not as bad as what the public made it sound. In fact, I think that we're not like the West, where a lot of our cinemas riddled with carcasses of concepts that are new age but still badly executed. So I feel in terms of that, at least it's a good start where you have a movie like this and the audience is kind of polarized and they're giving an opinion on it. And then it'll evolve and go from there. But it's better to have a movie like this than to not have it at all. So I feel that whole criticism of this being not nuanced enough or this being an execution flop is a very elite critic kind of opinion. But I still think for the masses, it's a good movie.
Yeah, so I actually agree with that. So I generally am more of the view that I thought it wasn't nuanced enough and I thought it could have been done a lot better. But the one thing I noticed is while we were watching it in the theater, most people were like really enjoying it and loving it. And I felt like they actually connected, even though they made the gender switch or the switching of the gender roles and reversal of the roles really kind of blatant and obvious in your face, which a lot of the critics especially didn't like, which I also found a bit jarring. But people in the audience really connected to it. And even if you look at the reception, critic reviews have been fairly mixed to bad for the reasons you said, where they felt it wasn't nuanced enough, but wasn't effective in delivering the message in a nice way. But A, the movie is still doing well. And most of the audience response has been positive. So I agree that even though I think on our episode, we err toward the side of being a bit too highbrow most of the time, which I'm often reminded of. But I see your point and I think it's definitely better to have this movie than not.
Yeah, I think the movie can be great fodder for a lot of the critics who like to over-intellectualize or looking for an opportunity to really analyze and kind of break it down. But I think it had a good message and it's a really good start to something, because I feel it's only very recent that content that's socially risky really has a business case in Indian cinema.
Yeah. It's good that it actually at least opens up the dialogue and gets people thinking about the issue. So we've actually been a lot more positive in these first 3 minutes than I expected watching the movies. Now I'm going to switch it back. But sometimes Suprateek Chatterjee mentioned it when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago. I don't remember whether he said it on the show itself or he said it to me offline. But there's also this tendency we have to judge Bollywood by a different scale, which is much lower. Like if this was a movie made by Hollywood or made by something else, we'd be like, what is this crap? This is, you know, whereas we say, oh, for Bollywood, it's actually quite good, which is also a bit of it's sad actually that we have to do that. So I thought it actually, the movie grew as it went along. The starting I thought was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It started off just like,
very unusual for any movie.
Yeah, and it was just too blatant, like too...
I think it was really poorly written. The starting was really poorly written was what the problem was.
No, and in general I have issues with the kind of overall writing and editing of this movie, because until the last part, which, first of all, let's decide, are we doing spoilers or not?
It's up to you, the director of
Nancy
Productions.
Okay, fine. I think let's do spoilers, because I feel like discussing stuff which involves spoilers, basically. But so, until the last...
Wait, I want to go back to your point about you saying that people judge Bollywood by different standards and about it being sad, but don't you think it's... I mean, it is the reality, because in Bollywood, the commercialization of good content is quite a rare marriage. It's either commercial and crap, or it's good content and it's more alternative or performance-oriented or something like that. Whereas I feel in Hollywood, even movies like The Intern or The Martian and all of that, they're very, very good content, but they are extremely commercialized, because some of the biggest movie stars in the industry are also carrying those movies, as opposed to, you know, Wazir or Ali Gar or anything like that here, where...
No, but I think, yes and no, because I think in Bollywood, the gap is much bigger.
Yeah.
In Bollywood, what happens is you have either films that are very good on content and very big on all of that, or you have super commercial.
Yeah, that's what I said. So that marriage is really rare, which is why people have a good standard.
Yeah, so that is true. Whereas in Hollywood, it's much more, because at the end of the day, a movie like The Martian or something like that is still not going to do the box office figures of like, you know, Iron Man or Avengers or Deadpool or even Batman vs. Superman, one of these big blockbuster movies.
Right.
So that is not unique to India, I think, but there is still, in Hollywood, like you said, there's still content which is good, but also does well commercially, whereas here it's either all one end of the scale or the other. But going back to the movie in terms of the writing, editing, what I felt like until the last half an hour, which the main conflict kind of comes up where Arjun Kapoor starts, his character starts getting more attention and he becomes famous, and his, Kareena's character isn't able to handle, which I have issues with that as well, I'll come back to later.
Exactly.
But until then, there was like no conflict in the movie. Like, it just, a series of events and incidents that happened.
There was nothing really moving the plot forward except the passage of time, sort of.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, that's one thing, but what I was disappointed about is there were a couple of moments in the film where there was actually opportunity for them to have a really kind of engaging and interesting concept or conflict. So there's two scenes specifically. One is when they go for this work conference in Dubai, and Kareena spends the whole evening talking to like one of her bosses, who's a guy, and Arjun gets jealous and he makes a comment on, oh yeah, you should just go sleep with him to get ahead.
And she feels.
And she like reacts like in complete anger and disgust that like, oh, you're just another stereotypical MCP who just thinks women can get ahead through this thing. That would have been a really interesting thing to play forward and to have as a thing. But it literally gets solved in 10 seconds by Arjun kissing her. Like, there's no, they don't discuss it, he doesn't apologize, he doesn't do anything.
It never comes up again.
Doesn't come up again. And then the second part is when, which was the most ridiculous scene,
the one
that
says,
when Kareena discovers she's pregnant, and takes a pregnancy test and then blames Arjun for ruining her career and her life.
Yeah, and then takes five others.
That gets solved in literally 2 minutes by Arjun buying five other pregnancy tests, and they have a best of five series. Like
they had a 6-1 just for,
I feel like if you get 2 out of 6 pregnancy tests positive, you should get like a better opinion than just a homemade pregnancy.
It was also extremely bad publicity for the pregnancy test manufacturing industry, because it's like these tests don't need like 1 in 3 of them tests positive.
You have to do a best of 5 before deciding to go to the hospital.
And yeah, they didn't really even take that forward. They didn't mention the fact that maybe they could have a conversation about sometime, you know, if you want to have kids anyway, but they didn't, like, they just ended it.
Well, I think as a directorial choice, that was good and bad, going back to when we were talking about the pacing, right? Because I think the good part was that it's such a new concept that the audience wants to know more and more just about their daily life and how they deal with it, which is what they did. But then again, the intense scenes seemed so abrupt that there was no really start.
And the thing is, it doesn't have to be like, this movie went all out with the whole literally role reversal of Arjun does the housework chores.
It's too literal.
Which, fine, but that's a kind of narrative choice they made for comedic effect and to exaggerate and stuff. Fine. But even if they want to position this as a woman to raise these issues, as a movie to raise issues about kind of gender roles and women's position in society in India especially, these are the general issues that women face. One, like, how do they manage career and family given that physically, biologically, they do have to take time off, which affects their potential ability to rise up the ranks. And the issue of, you know, the perception of women as being, you know, not having the intrinsic this thing to be successful, which are the two big issues they just kind of gloss over, and they focus more time on actually looking at, oh, how does Arjun have the mindset and this thing to be like this, which misses the point completely.
Yeah, and what missed the point even more or kind of destroyed it in a way was this one, like, really small incident when Kareena herself said that those who manage a household and a family and a career are super women.
Hmm.
Trying to make it sound like only very, very few people can do it, which is kind of against the point of this entire
movie. Yeah.
I think there's a danger, because this is like a satire, right? They literally, the movie is all about reversing the roles and then trying to show the fact that, you know, it doesn't matter which gender is like doing which.
Yeah. Concept.
But there's like a danger in it sort of reinforcing those stereotypes.
Exactly.
So it
very clearly delineates there has to be a breadwinner and there has to be a stay-at-home person.
In fact, that is one of the things that Karina's mother said at the end. There's a conflict between a breadwinner,
and not a man, woman, or a husband, wife, or
But then that's sort of going against the. It's basically sending the message that, like, you know, you have to have somebody who does totally the housework.
And this is, I won't take credit for this statement, but on the Bollywood Project podcast, they made a comment which I think is very relevant. The whole point about gender roles is that there shouldn't be any. Not that we need to reverse what currently exists, and that you should look at men and women the same way. So, which that point doesn't get addressed at all. The other thing, going back to the eventual main conflict in the movie, which is then the fact that Arjun starts getting a lot of attention and press and publicity for the fact that he's a stay-at-home husband, and that is breaking news in a country like India, basically. The issue I have with that is, then again, the conflict goes back to the traditional man-woman role where, you know, even though they go to all this lengths to be like, Arjun has no ambition, or his character has no ambition and no drive to be successful. We can argue separately whether Arjun himself has ambition and drive, but and know this thing. They still, you know, make sure he's a IIM topper, and then eventually what happens is he does get all the success in the thing, so that he still does it. I thought it would be much more interesting for them to focus on, to keep him in his stay-at-home role and deal with one of the other issues we talked about, then make him also an equally big person, and then talking about that.
Well, I think the intention of giving him the backstory of being from a really rich family and an IIM role was to reinforce the fact that being a stay-at-home person was his choice.
That's right.
And not because he wasn't well set up enough. So I think that backstory is justified.
Right.
So I don't agree with you there. But then what happens is, I think the way it was turned around was awful, especially on that stairs scene when Kareena actually uses the backstory to justify why.
Yeah.
He had used her the whole time as a move, which I thought that entire scene was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. Also, the other, in terms of writing and characters, Kareena's character was just not likable at all, which, as the main lead in the movie, is...
And I think, and especially this type of, if you want to show, like, women empowerment, or you want to show some kind of, or you want to, like, you know, make strides, or make a political statement, I mean, there was not much real focus on her character's, like, you know, success as much as Arjun's, like, choice. And, you know, this was more his emancipation rather than, you know, this is a movie about how a man can choose not to work or stay at home rather than a woman can be successful in the workplace.
Yeah.
Which inherently is reinforcing.
This is the point completely. So then moving on from that, in terms of the acting and performances themselves, what did you guys think?
I didn't think Arjun was very...
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I thought he could have been way better. In fact, for a lot of the time, I thought he just had this single expression of sheer helplessness or blank face type of look.
Yeah, there's like one of the first few scenes where they meet at a restaurant for the first time where he does this 180 degree. She says something about how
about his mom,
and then he goes, you know, berserk, really berserk. But there was literally like no change in his face. There was no. I didn't even know whether he was being serious or not. He just once he got up and left, and like the scene got over, then I was like, okay, he's not like.
And there were other various scenes, like there's the dinner scene when she calls her office for dinner at parts where he's just kind of on the side looking like bored and disinterested. And I was like, is that supposed to be his character? Is that just him? Like, what? I don't know. Speaking of the whole restaurant scenes, they did this other thing which was again nice idea, poorly executed, of a satire on this whole TV serial thing of like the repeated edits and leaving things on a cliffhanger. But it was just like, you know, so they're having dinner, and then he says like, you know, I want to be just like my mother. And then the scene skips to them having dinner together again the next day. And Kareena is like, oh, like a TV serial, you left this at a cliffhanger. I'm like, but you all were at dinner together. Like, it's not like suddenly it's like, okay, time's up, we have to go home now. You could have just continued the conversation then instead of doing this. It was just like a needless gimmick that they added. Yeah. I mean, anyway.
And like, just to your point of, it wasn't just that scene. I was really distracted by the camera movements throughout the movie. Because
yeah, the editing was very choppy.
It was not just the editing, like single scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the camera moved around so much and it seemed very unprofessional actually in some scenes. Like jokey movements and everything, and that really like and really distracted me from the whole thing. I wasn't sure what they were trying to do because a lot of like random zooms, random close-ups that didn't make sense.
Yeah, I think both in terms of the edit and the content, it wasn't a very smooth flowing movie. Yeah, there was a lot of random abruptions. Here's my what I thought was not in terms of the performances, but so Balki, right, as a director, his past work like Chinnikam and Pa, they're not comical movies. They're not entertaining movies as such. It's more about the concept and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's trying to do a fairly comical movie, which is why a lot of the humor he missed on. It didn't really work really well, whether it's the satire of the TV serial cliffhangers or even the stuff about the 15th April that birthday is being on the scene. Just all of that stuff, right? Which just didn't work in terms of a humor. And if you compare that to even Suraj Barjatya, right, where his past movies are pretty serious, they're all about the Indian family system and stuff like that. And then he did Prem Ratan Dhan Payo, which was a fail because he tried to make it comical again. So what do you think of these directors that are not known for their comedy, but they're trying to create content that's a lot more commercial and comical?
I mean, I think it's like, in general, my view is that experimentation is good. And like, as a director, as a filmmaker, you should have at the end of the day, like, movies are their means of expression. So it's fine for them to try to do different things. Like, I'm fine with Suraj Barjatya trying to make movies that are not just Sanskari family movies and make a comedy or make something different. I'm fine with, like, if one day Rohit Shetty decides he wants to make an intense biopic on someone, I'm all for it.
Right.
I wouldn't maybe watch it, but I'm all for the concept of you want to try something else and do something else. But then, I mean, I think it's a matter of, if you don't have the expertise in doing something, you need to have the right people on set, and whether it's writers, whether it's assistant directors, whether it's whoever is involved, to kind of oversee the execution to make sure it doesn't come across as tacky, which I think is what happened here.
Yeah, that's why.
I think the execution is pretty poor.
Yes. Which, I mean, I think, which I also don't see why is not possible, because making a film anyway requires like tons and tons of people to make happen. So somewhere along the line, I'm sure there must be someone who can step in and say, you know, hey, maybe we should do this differently, or maybe we should do something else differently.
Yeah.
But having said that, I think, like you said earlier, there were a lot of audiences that like
that did like it.
They like it. Yeah. If you treat it as just like an entertainer, as a comedy film, it has its flaws, but
yeah. On the whole, I think it's definitely a watchable movie, and it's like, there were times where it was reasonably cringeworthy, but it was not like a Shandar again. We use Shandar in
every episode now.
But
I didn't watch so much.
Let's Shandar and we use that the most. But like, it's not like a Houseful or a any Salman Khan like Kick or Bodyguard or one of those, where it's like, just really like, why am I watching this? Over here, it's like, you can at least see that there's an effort to do something different, to do something innovative. They don't quite manage it as well as they could, fine. But like you said, I mean, it's better to try something worthwhile than to just, like, I would rather people try something worthwhile than to just put their energies in making dumb, useless movies like Rowdy Rapport and whatever else.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's the trade-off between making a movie that's implicit and nuanced, or getting the message out to more people about this concept as well. And the reality of the Indian movie industry is that this trade-off still exists, and it's very rare for people to be able to do both at the same time.
Yeah, but which is why the fact that people are at least trying as well.
Yeah.
And it will take time to get it right. I mean, there's always, I feel like in general, quality of movies and content is always, if not improving, at least reaching different places at different heights. So, at some point, there will be people who get it right.
Yeah, and it is largely driven by the audience as well, right? The audience here is a lot more heterogeneous compared to the audience in the West or something like that. Where, so, I think it's...
Yeah, I think, one thing about movies like this is that I think the goal should be to sort of get to a place where, you know, the identity of, let's say, for example, if you're making a movie on like women or something, their identities aren't tied to either struggling to make it as a woman or to a particular man, you know, like we have to sort of get to a place where a woman can be successful and it's just another
facet
of her personality, like Nirja, for example.
Yeah.
Okay, her great character, great angel. She was able to get, she went through a thing in the 1980s, and yeah, it took 30 years to make a film about her, even though, you know, that story existed. I knew about, I had only read like a Wikipedia article, but now people are sort of seeing her as a role model much better now, because the power of cinema versus the power of reality of the news.
Yeah.
Cinema has I don't want to say it has a responsibility, but I think people need to be aware that it possibly has a larger influence on.
And I think movies like this, it's only today that they have a real audience, right? For being able to invest enough money to get the best brain power on it, or to get real industry talent into it, and kind of making it commercially viable as well. So maybe that's why Nisha wasn't created 10 years ago, when it probably should have been created.
Yeah, I agree. That's my point. I think the fact that these movies are being made, you know, there's obviously a process. First, you have to get, you know, like...
There's to be demand for it first, I think.
Which I think is the case only today.
Yeah. We talked about Arjun. Karina, any thoughts or opinions?
Again, I thought she was okay. I thought she was better than Arjun, but... Again, like you said, I didn't really like her character that much.
Yeah, I mean, I thought she had, in general, the whole film, I thought there were moments which were done really well and where Karina did really well. Like, I already mentioned the scene where Arjun accuses her of sleeping around, blah, blah, not accuses her, but implies that, you know, I thought that scene she did really well in. There were a couple of others. But yeah, on the whole, it was a fairly kind of generic film. All the characters in this film felt like actors playing a role, as opposed to it being very natural or this thing. Another interesting part about the film was the late cameo by the Bachchans, which was actually quite funny.
Yeah, that was one of the better portions of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite part.
Yeah.
From a purely entertainment perspective, I think it was the best part. Amitabh Bachchan especially, I think, really stole from a story and plot and perspective, it felt a bit pointless, and it was just random kind of tool to get to move this plot along and bring it to resolution. But I mean, whatever, fine.
The movie got better for it. Just by the fact that those scenes were really fun.
Yeah.
I thought the performance by Kareena Kapoor's mom, I forgot her name, was actually pretty good.
Yeah, she was good, actually. Even the, like, for pure comedy value, his dad was actually great as well.
But again, in terms of the plot, like, I didn't, yeah, he was in, I think, four scenes, I counted.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like he was, there was no reason for him to sort of come around to, you know, towards the end, he comes and reconciles. It didn't literally seem.
No, I mean, but that's the thing, that was one of the things as well, which would have been, again, is another big issue generally that this situation would face, which they just gloss over. Like, obviously having a parent respond to a situation like this, like Karina's mind is all chill, but like his dad is obviously not okay with the note. But they just raise it, leave it there, and then don't deal with it apart from like a couple of scenes where he's just judgmental and dismissive, and then at the end he just comes back and is all fine.
Which I didn't understand also, like how would you react that way early and then with very little new information suddenly be like, give Karina a whole company, you know, it's a bit. In terms of the plot, in terms of the comedy, I guess,
which is the thing, and I think moving towards wrapping up this segment, I think what most of the reviews are saying, which I tend to agree with, is if you view this as a film with an important social message that is, which is what it's trying to be, it doesn't quite manage to do that. But if you treat this just as a pure entertaining film with like a nice kind of concept and nice message, whatever, then it's reasonably good.
I think that review holds for the critic itself and for the industry who actually watches and is able to intellectually break down the content.
Yeah.
I don't think that review holds for the masses.
But I mean, for the masses, I don't think they would probably only look at the second one. I don't think they
care
that much about the first.
Yeah.
But I mean, my point is, if they were hoping to actually have a significant impact on mindsets and things, I don't think it will.
Exactly.
It'll just be like a fun.
Yeah,
it might be the opposite, even as we mentioned.
Yeah.
Anything else to add? Music?
I thought the code word chutney check for sex was going to be. That's my close.
That's your go to now.
Yeah.
Music, any comments?
So, I mean, the music was okay, but one thing, again, I didn't like was the background score. It was very...
Yeah, actually, it was that you mentioned.
Yeah, like, along with the camera movements that I mentioned earlier, everything just seemed poorly executed and just a bit random.
Yeah,
even the train, like, when the train kept coming again and again, I thought that was a bit disturbing and a little bit overdone, which was also a part of the background score.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, they made in the trailers or in promotions, but they actually kind of hyped up the train quite a bit, but in the actual story itself, it's insignificant. It's just hard to be an enthusiast of trains, and as a result, they show trains running around everywhere, and he redesigns the house based on that.
Yeah, because he associates romance with trains, so he wants to bring that to the home.
That's a stretch.
That's what he said. I've never felt romantic or anything.
But
he associates.
The background score was especially bad. And it was, first of all, the choice of music itself was a bit tacky and kind of jarring and didn't really go. And then the way it was put in, like, there were a couple of scenes where there's music playing, and then it stops for like 15 seconds, and then it starts playing again without any kind of significance or like.
Yeah, I mean, I think that really takes away from the movie for me. I think. Actually, usually when I look at it, I look at like camera movements and like background score, because like music can really make a
atmosphere of the
it really gives it like a sense of it gives it like that cinematic sort of feel, but didn't see it. This one in places it was just really poorly edited and like almost amateurish.
Yeah. We will probably not take a break and just power through because we have very few trailers to discuss. So the first one is Azhar, which is a film about cricketer Mohammad Azharuddin with Imran Hashmi playing the lead. What were your first impressions after watching the trailer?
I mean, it looks interesting. Like, obviously, it's an interesting story in general, so I think it does have potential. Yeah, I mean, like, I couldn't really. Yeah, it seemed pretty interesting, and like, at least, okay, one thing I have to say that he batted really well. Like, almost his batting style is very other, like, and it seems like he'll do a good job. I can't really say.
I think people will definitely go for the movie because it's a huge. That story was pretty sensational. So that's nothing that's been done on it apart from this movie. I'm just not sure of Imran Hashmi as a choice to play the protagonist in this movie. What do you guys think of him as a choice?
I generally the last time I said this on the podcast, I was severely butchered, but I will just skip and say it again. I generally like Imran Hashmi as an actor, so I wasn't that affected by the choice of him in the role. In terms of the story itself, so the one thing I was worried about is that this is, so Azharuddin is like endorsed this movie. So he was involved in the production of it. He actually helped coach Imran Hashmi on his batting style and all of that. And he's very much like associated with the project. So I was a bit curious as to whether, how much of a kind of valid and realistic account it would be of what actually happened, or it would be very much showing Azhar in a positive light compared to what may have happened. Likelihood, no one will ever know what really happened.
But so what was his role when you say he was involved? Was he a producer on the movie, or what was his role?
I guess,
he was just an advisor.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like, it's an official buy, like, he sold the rights to his story. And right. He was involved in the whole process of making the movie.
Yeah.
So he's seen the cuts, he approved the story, he did everything.
Yeah, so you think it might be biased.
So it, I think it will end up being biased, but from the trailer, they actually look to have done a fairly balanced job of bringing out the main match fixing stories. They also, they said in promotions that they will spend a bit of time also focusing on his personal life, which in, before the match fixing also got a lot of attention because he married three times now, I think. But back then, twice. That part, actually, I'm a bit less excited about because, at least from the trailer, that whole love triangle dynamic felt really forced and really tacky, for lack of a better word.
Krish has used the word tacky on this podcast.
Tacky.
If I had a nickel for every time you say tacky.
Cheesy. How's that better?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't know he was involved in the project.
I wouldn't think so. Anyway, the other issue I had, not issue, but it looks, if you have you guys seen Jannat?
No, I haven't.
So that was another movie. There are very obvious similarities in that they're both Balaji, they're both about match fixing and cricket, they both have Imran Hashmi. So, but even visually, the whole vibe of the actual cricket fields and the pitch all feels very similar. And Jannat was a good movie, so in that sense, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But it just feels like, it doesn't feel as fresh as I hoped it would be. And especially compared to the Dhoni movie that's coming up later this year. I mean, I don't think it's of the same caliber.
But I will probably go watch it.
Yeah, I want to.
People will see it for sure because it's a story that's being put on celluloid, which...
Then the other movie, the next movie, which Akash has already booked his tickets at Maratha Mandir for.
My reputation about B-grade movies on this podcast is pretty tanked.
Which are the only show DDLG at Maratha
That's why I got you for this podcast, to discuss specifically this trailer. One Night Stand, starring Sunny Leone. It's basically like every other Sunny Leone movie.
I'll definitely have to do more research.
Might have to watch the trailer.
It seemed like a generic sort of sex thriller.
Erotic thriller. Yeah, use the correct terminology.
Sorry.
I thought it was
highbrow.
I didn't really see the difference between the trailer here and the trailer for Hate Story. I felt like it was pretty much the same format with the...
With
a tease of a thunderous plot in the back, but nothing really happening.
I think there was a tease of many thunderous things happening. Lots of teasing and lots of thunder. But these movies are doing well. Like, Sunny Leone has established herself now, like a legit career for herself now in Bollywood as whatever. And these movies are like, Hate Story 3 did some 55 crores in box office, which is like more than most.
Yeah.
Movies, so And these are all small budget movies, so for them.
Normally, I think sort of these type of thriller, small budget movies make a lot of money because of me.
And Akash apparently lit the lead actor in the movie.
No, that was another movie.
Which movie was that?
The other one we saw.
No, it was this one. The other one we saw was Neil Patel's.
No, there is another one.
There was another one. This was not this movie. Stop trashing my.
Yeah.
Stop trashing my radio image.
What other trailer did you see?
The Helen Cabaret.
Oh, Cabaret.
Yes.
Oh,
different movie, guys. Different movie.
Yeah,
the wrong season.
Yeah.
Oh,
we actually did have quite a few trailers. Just there. Anyway, so Cabaret, conveniently. Akash lit the main character. The main lead in Cabaret. We won't give you a chance to explain that. The listeners will have to
pick. I will not be a lighting designer.
It's very
So Cabaret is a movie starring Richa Chadha, which is apparently about Helen Sinha.
Yeah.
Sinha is very skeptical about that after watching this.
So the trailer, it did seem like. Well, firstly, I really don't understand what was going on in that movie based on the trailer.
Yeah.
There was just a lot of cabaret scenes, and then all of a sudden, just the word death coming up.
Yeah.
And then they charged that with a gun. So, I haven't heard of Helen ever owning or firing a firearm, but. So I'm skeptical because of that.
Yeah. So we went to the most credible source to check whether this was about Helen, and that was Wikipedia, and apparently it was. So
no, it's unconfirmed.
Yes,
yeah. Rumors are circulating that.
Right, okay.
Helen. But it was also a very confusing trailer. I'm curious to watch it just because generally Richa Chadha, I think, is a great actress, and she typically does movies which have some substance to the exactly, where that's interesting. And then the last trailer we saw was Nil Bande Sananda. That's how you
pronounce
it.
I'm looking
to these guys for confirmation and they have zero idea as well. So
what day?
That I thought was very interesting. So it had Swara Bhaskar and Rathna Pathak, mainly, and a child actor whose name I don't know. But interesting concept because it's about a maid who's trying to educate her daughter. And her daughter is like, what's the point? I mean, I'm going to end up being a maid as well.
Mm.
And that whole struggle between that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I thought it was super interesting. In fact, I thought that was the best of the four trailers we saw today.
Yeah, I think, again, to this point of like showing women empowerment and something, that it looks like the execution on that would be
better,
you know, really good. There's one line that Rathna Pathak says where it's, you know, you either have luck or hard work. So if you don't have luck, which I think is a message that a lot of at least young girls should take into account.
Yeah, I also think it's a social segment that hasn't been spotlighted as much as a few others, for example, the cops of India or the politicians of India or anything like that.
Yeah,
but this is also a huge part of the working class hasn't really been focused on. So I think just purely in terms of that, it might be pretty innovative and worth a watch.
But again, this is one of those things where it is a small movie, limited promotion budget, etc.
Did you say it was 50 lakhs, the budget for this?
No, that was... Yeah.
That was...
Just the Wikipedia.
I think that was...
That's Cabaret.
Cabaret.
Yeah.
No, one.
No, Cabaret.
Which, for good, that, to be fair, that movie, if it's actually made on 50 lakhs, looks visually very well done. So good for that. But yeah, nevertheless, Ananta, I think it's an interesting concept. I hope it, if it's done well and it's good, I hope it actually gets traction and gets... Because I think that's also another fairly relevant social issue in terms of just progressing our country economically that often gets left behind or not really addressed.
And I think the performances from the trailer, they look pretty strong.
Yeah.
So
I'll watch anything that Ratna Bhatta did.
The Pankaj Kapoor and Ratna Bhatta.
I love Shahnaz. Sorry, I didn't bring it back. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I made that decision. Ever since Sara Bhai to watch everything that
Ratna Pathak was amazing in Ulan Sun. She's always been
she's really good.
Really good actress.
Yeah.
It seems like it's just continuing.
Cool. On that note, we are more or less done. Any additional thoughts or final thoughts? Things we haven't covered or things we want to talk about?
Have we earned a spot in the next podcast?
You guys are always welcome on the podcast.
I'll give you my... I don't remember if I... If you, I don't know if you remember, but I had my... how many times I looked at my watch, we are reviewing movies.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, for this one, I can tell you, Sinha, for the last 52 minutes, only look at his phone and not the movie.
Yeah,
but not the watch, okay? I'm doing other stuff, but...
You're doing other stuff.
For 52 minutes.
I only looked at the time about 5 times, which is not very good attention. So I would say average. I would give it 5 on 10. 5 watches out of 10.
It would have been helpful if you said this when we were actually talking about the movie before we digressed.
Yeah,
I thought it was slightly above average. I don't think it was great. I thought you were looking at your watch thing.
I've looked at my watch like 3 times during this podcast.
So this podcast has only 2 watch looks better than the movie itself.
I only one.
So we have good.
This thing.
Yeah, then it's worse.
Okay, wow. Thank you for that.
I'm just kidding. It's because I was on it this time, I think.
Brilliant endorsement of the podcast. Before you say anything else, I'm going to cut it shortly.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you leave this on, you get a lot more views, actually.
If people actually stay with this now, I have no idea. This is a good test, actually. If we get comments on this.
Is anyone out there?
I actually did that once where I said, I did a thing at the end, we were talking about something. I said, I don't know if anyone actually listened. The only message I got was from my dad saying, I heard the podcast and I heard it till the end. Thank you, appreciate it. I know I have at least one loyal listener.
Thanks so much for listening. That was our show and hope you enjoyed it. You know what I'm about to say next, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please subscribe to Bollywood Weekly on iTunes using the podcast app or on SoundCloud, either on the web or using the app available on iOS and on Android. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the description. And please do spread the word and let us know what you think in the comments. If there's anything you want to see us doing differently or anything you want to see more of, we will be happy to take all your feedback. And if you want to just share your views about what you think about these movies, we will be happy to feature those as well. See you next week.